Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show.
You're listening to The Shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
Mark Radio.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
Brainstorm Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Daddy Wampus.
Orange Room.
Warlife Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're all okay wherever it is you are listening to this right now. This is Antisocial Game Radio, live, as usual, and forever and ever and ever, on morelikeradio.com. Going live at 4 p.m. Eastern and 9 p.m. UK time. And I'm drinking, and the beer has already started to kick in after a few sips. How much of a lightweight am I? Welcome, everyone. It's good to see all the people in the chat room. And talk to you all as usual. Bits and pieces going on. I've got my Pokemon tournament this weekend. I had one on the previous weekend. I've got my PlayStation turning up next week. It's good stuff right now, people. It really is. My PlayStation 4 will turn up next week. Hopefully this time this year. It's supposed to be this Tuesday. Next Tuesday, rather. Get me a copy of Watch Dogs. I'll play that. I'll talk about it during the show. It's literally the next week or so. It's gonna be pretty good, I can't wait to get my PlayStation 4. I mean, as you know, I'm a big fan of the Ultimate Sidemen, and I watch all their games of FIFA all the time. And I'm like, should I buy FIFA 14 or should I just wait for the new one? I'm probably gonna wait for the new one to play some FIFA. you know, have some fun. You know, probably not be never be as good as they are, but I mean, they practice and practice and practice, and I've got a job basically. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to getting, you know, PlayStation 4. It's my brand new current gen console. You know, how many of these will I go through? Hopefully just this one. but yeah, I mean, you know, 6 PlayStation 2s, 2 PlayStation, well, I'm almost currently on my second PlayStation 3, so, you know, cutting it down a little bit, I'd say. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my PlayStation, you know, and with E3 coming up, and there's big games that were announced over this past week, which I'm going to talk about, and there's one that I can't wait for, and November this year is going to be a very great month for gaming. You know, bunch of stuff coming out, which I'll talk about in a bit. But yeah, what I've been playing, Pokemon, basically. I've stopped the Metal Gear Solid for the moment, because basically, I've got my the Pokemon National Tournament this weekend, which I'm looking forward to. And so this previous weekend, we had the May Pokemon International Challenge, which was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a 4-day event, finished yesterday. You were allowed to have, I think it was 20 battles a day. I only did about one day's worth of battling with 20 battles, because I have been sort of getting ready for the tournaments, and I've been breeding. I'm breeding non-stop at the moment. I'm sort of just doing, you know, trying to breed Pokemon 5 IVs. You know, I'm just sort of doing bits and pieces, I've got about, I said to my mate at work, I've got about 2,500 Pokemon in my Pokebank, and I'm like, yeah, I need to cut that shit down. So basically, all the ones I've got, like, dozens of, I'm like, all right, let's breed them down, try and cut them down to one perfect one, and then just sort of, because basically, I mean, my 3DS XL is the Pikachu one. It's not on its last legs, it still works. It's literally the, you know, with these machines, the first thing that goes are the hinges, and the hinges are going, and I'm worried that something might happen because it's going. So I'm like, as my PlayStation bank thing is tied into this 3DS, I'm like, okay, I've got about, I think, 50 full boxes of Pokemon, roughly, if I count it down. Yeah, roughly about 50-ish boxes of Pokemon. On the actual game cartridge, I can hold about 30, so basically I need to lose about 20 boxes and then transfer them all across, which is what I'm working on. But it's taking a bit of time. But no, just basically I've sort of been doing a bit of that. But yeah, Pokemon, the International Challenge, I had a lot of fun that one day, because literally I was off work last Friday, so basically I sort of sat on the sofa. I tested out my VGC team. I lead because I haven't been breeding. I had to sort of swap out one that I was going to use. It did okay, to be honest. I mean, I lost, I had the full first day, 20 battles. I think I lost about, I think, 11 or 12. I don't know what the count is yet. I'll have to check it out. And I won just under that. I think about, I lost 12 and I won like 8 or something. But yeah, I did that. It was very close on what I did win and what I did lose. But yeah, I mean, it did give me some lot of experience, because it's weird, right? We have the battle spot where you can do the VGC stuff, but it's no one's as I've been having trouble logging on. I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. Maybe it's just maintenance or whatever. It's just every time I try to get onto the battle spot with my Pokemon stuff, it doesn't seem to hook me up to anyone. And then when I go to the normal random battles, that sort of stuff, everyone's using sort of the legendary Pokemon, so I don't really get a fair fight. I mean, you know, sometimes I have gone into battle against a whole team full of legendaries and beating the shit out of them. But yeah, but it's like, you know, I want proper VGC stuff. I want people to actually give a shit. So, you know, so we're all basically training and fighting and getting experience from each other. So basically, you know, we're all getting better and better as, you know, the more we fight. But yeah, I did okay. I had some good battles. I've done some bits and pieces. But yeah, it was a great little tournament. I mean, Nintendo said we're going to get a whole bunch more. So that's good for me. It makes me excited. But yeah, I mean, Pokemon Nationals this week, and I can't wait. Literally, I haven't even started. I mean, I leave on Friday to get to go to Manchester, because the tournament's on Saturday and Sunday. I'm not sure how well I'm going to do. I mean, to be honest, last year I did sort of middle of the road. I think I'm going to do the same this year. But it is weird from basically what I have been playing from the VGC, the International Challenge. A lot of people use the same stuff, and it irks me that basically we're all using the same 10 or 12 Pokemon in various combinations. But I mean, come 2015 VGC, basically everything will be open, and you know it will. The VGC might go back to the way it was, but with certain things, it's hard to say right now. But I am looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be so much fun. I mean, I've said to loads of people, I said, literally, if I do shit on Saturday, I'm going to go and see X-Men on Sunday, basically, because I'll probably be at the doing some coverage for the show on the Sunday. But yeah, I'll probably be there till the end, but you know, in the night time, because we're right by the Trafford Centre, which is basically a big shopping mall, and they've got like restaurants and shops, and there's a cinema there. So I'm like, okay, whatever I've done during the day, I'll go out at night time, go and see X-Men and whatever. But yeah, it depends how quickly we get through stuff, because the main battling's done on the first day, and then we have like a whole bunch of I'm not too sure how it's all going to work. I mean, last year it was basically, I mean, because it was separate days. It was like the TCG was on the Saturday and the VGC was on the Sunday. And basically we all just turned up in the morning. We queued up, we got registered, we were waiting around for a couple of hours because the computer, I don't know, some glitch with the program, and it messed up and lost a lot of the data. So basically we had to wait for like 3 or 4 hours before we could even get battle. But yeah, I mean, it was okay last year. I mean, it was literally, we were waiting around for a long time, but I mean, I got to hang out with the people from Pokemania, which I'll be doing this year, which I can't wait to see them again because I miss them so much. I've got my mate Kelly, who's on Strighton Radio, the Looker Bureau. I think he's done It's Super Effective. I think he's done that as well. He's living in Ireland at the moment. He will be coming over, so we'll get to see him and hang out. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. And, you know, those of you listening in the UK and you're going as well, yep, say hello. I'm literally going to be the tallest motherfucker in the room. But yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. And yeah, it's going to be really good. Depending on whether I win or lose, I'll be getting drunk in some bar at the end of the night if I can try and find some place that will let me in. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to going. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I haven't even started packing yet. I mean, I've got my suitcase that I've borrowed from the old man. I've just got to throw some shit in there, my More Like Radio shirt and some other shirts, some to do with Pokemon that I want to wear. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. This event. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go several hundred miles up the road, basically do what I can, probably lose, and then come back home again. But I don't mind. It's a lot of fun. The VGC stuff is basically what I'm into, because the TCG, that confuses the shit out of me. But yeah, I mean, we don't get represented enough when it comes to VGC stuff. I mean, you know, I know people who go to like TCG tournaments across the country, like earning points and that can help them get to the world finals and stuff like this. And it's like, what do we get over here for the for the video game? It's like, you know, in America they have like several different regionals, and nationals. You know, I mean, I'd love a free trip to Washington, you know, which is basically where the finals is going to be held this year. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, competing again, seeing what other people are like, you know, just having fun, really. I mean, that's the main thing. It's all about having fun. Winning or losing doesn't really matter, because I think if it's going to be like it was last year with Swiss rounds, it's like, well, we're going to have, we're going to have like 8 or 9 rounds, because that's the thing. See, last year it was in Birmingham, which is basically the middle of England, and Manchester's sort of north of England, just below Scotland. And how far will people travel? I mean, I know there's a couple of people that I was with last year, a couple of people from Portsmouth and that area. They've gone up to, you know, they went to Birmingham, they're coming to Manchester this year, which would be great. Might actually get to hang around with them this time under like last year. But yeah, it's, you know, the travel aspect that makes me wonder. I mean, I know that a lot of the main people, I mean, I'm on several different Pokemon groups, and a bunch of the lads on those groups that went to Germany for the German Nationals a couple of weeks ago, so I know they're going to come to Manchester. But yeah, it's going to be a great thing. I mean, just, it's, we're all, I mean, I'm enthusiastic, as you can tell, because, you know, it's Pokemon, and it's one of the few game series that I've been playing for, 15 years, half my life, and I'm still, you know, keep playing it. But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, it's one of those things that we can all be enthusiastic about, but playing, you know, winning or losing, it's not much of a thing. But, you know, we all aim to do well. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I am, so I can't wait to get my PlayStation 4 with the, you know, all the games that are going to come out over the next few months, so Destiny and, you know, bits and pieces. But yeah, I say, just, I haven't, there's nothing really I've played, to be honest, apart from Pokemon. So I know it's a bit of a letdown the past couple of weeks. I haven't really had much to talk about. I mean, there's stuff I want to buy, I want to pick up. I mean, I got my payslip email from work today, so I like know how much money I've got, so I can buy some new stuff. But it's like, there's nothing that I want at the moment. And just, there's no point in me buying stuff because, I mean, E3 is just around the corner. So I'm better off just sort of seeing what's going on and then trying to save up for when I do need to buy some stuff. But, I mean, you know, next week I will be playing Watch Dogs, and I'll be talking to you about it and how good it is. And, you know, just sort of talk about how good the PlayStation 4 is, whatever it is that it does that makes it good. I mean, you know, with the 360 on 420, JJ goes on about his Xbox. You know, I just want to see what these new, you know, it'll be my first experience with these new next generation consoles. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what we're going to get, you know, what it's like. And, you know, the cross light bar and that touch pad. And, you know, it's just, you know, something to sort of play and look. I mean, literally before the show, I was watching Tarzan, the Disney 99 movie. Yeah, and it's like, I'm sort of going to be like that, sort of poking stuff and touching bits and pieces and licking things and, you know, having a lot of fun and just trying to work out, you know, what makes this thing tick, basically. And, you know, it's going to be, it's going to be a fun week playing lots of stuff. And I'm on holiday as well, so I'll literally just playing, Watch Dogs. I mean, I think I'll probably have it finished in about 2 weeks anyway, so I won't really matter. But to be honest, I am looking forward to so much just playing Watch Dogs. But yeah, I'd say nothing been playing, so basically, and there's no real topic because I have an idea on like a sort of topic about whether people like playing sort of arcade style games or over, you know, sort of real simulation games, you know, from like say arcadey like Mario Kart to something like Forza or Gran Turismo. You know, I want to do some sort of like a topic on that and what your preferences are on how you feel about playing games that are, you know, such and such. But yeah, I mean, that's for a future topic, because literally, I mean, I've got literally next week's topic is probably going to be about the national tournament and what I got up to. Hang on, let me call up the old calendar. Right, so next week we've got, next week's going to be talking about, was it 27th? Yeah, that's going to be talking about how I did in Pokemon. We have, oh shit, yeah, oh fucking thing, there we go, yeah. The week after that we're going to do in E3 predictions, so basically I'm going to need all your input, all you thousands of listeners, I know you're there. Oh, I know what I haven't done yet. I haven't done the old introduction stuff. But yeah, get yourself in the old Facebook group, because that's where I'm going to put the post up in about, I don't know, I might just do it this week. You know, it'll be a pinned topic, so you know, you'll see it's the top one, so make sure you comment on it. I want to know what sort of stuff you want to see at E3, what games you'd like to announce, or what games you know of that are going to be there, you want to see more of, or, you know, give me information that you want me to look for when it comes to E3 stuff. You know, I'll look up as much information on these games as possible. I mean, you know, I'm not there, but I'll run across a couple of websites trying to find some information for you. But yeah, I want to know, you know, tell me what you want to see, what you're looking forward to seeing, what surprises you think. I mean, do you reckon we're going to be told about Fallout 4, or will Nintendo show, how in depth will Microsoft go into this new Halo 5? Because I've got topics on this now. Topics, news and stuff. You know, fucking throw shit at me. Give me questions and I'll see as many answers I can give to you. But yeah, join the old Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/MLR Gamer Lobby. Get yourself in there. I mean, I am looking forward to it because literally, I haven't posted too many trailers recently because it has been slow. But given the next couple of weeks, it's going to be bombarded with trailers after trailers and thoughts and analysis. You know, it's the next couple of weeks, my friends, it's going to be really good. Games coming out of our arseholes, literally. But yeah, I mean, a few things that I am looking forward to. I had the article. 1 second. Here we go. So I'm just trying to scroll through my old thingy. Where the hell did that page go? Oh, hang on. Nope. Oh, where did it go? Fucking thing. Yes, it was about the new Fallout. Far Cry 4. There we go. I am so looking forward to this game. It's going to be amazing. Oh, God. Fucking ads. Jesus Christ. 1 sec. IGN, you bunch of fucking cunts. Can I just click on your website without having a fucking ad pop up? Jesus Christ. What's up this bloody thing? Now, how do I get out of this fucking... There we go. Damn waste of time. IGN, you're a bunch of fucking cunts. Drop all the ads, you sellout fuck-up cunts. Jesus Christ, useless sellout fucking bastards. Yes, I know Wolfenstein's a great game and I can't wait to play it, but you don't just spam the fucking page every time some cunt wants to look at your fucking website, you useless bunch of fucking douchebags. Fuck's sake, these people. This is what sickens me about these websites now. Bunch of fucking sellouts. Listen, you arseholes. If you can't make money from your fucking website, stop spamming the shitty fucking ads for games that we already know we're going to buy. You useless motherfuckers. Jesus Christ. Fucking hate IGN. Bunch of useless arseholes. But yeah, Far Cry 4. I'm looking forward to this. As you know, as regular listeners know, Far Cry 3 was my game of the year about 2 years ago. And this one, it looks pretty good. Here we go, yeah. Himalayan setting, Mad King villain, and more to come at E3. Ubisoft has announced Far Cry 4, which will be released on November 18th in North America and November 20th in Europe for Xbox One, Xbox 360, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and PC. Far Cry 4 is set in Kyrat. I believe that's how you pronounce it. I have no clue. I've never heard of this place before. Here we go, yeah. A fictional Himalayan ruins. Yeah, so basically it doesn't exist. So I can say it however the fuck I want. Ruled by a despotic, self-appointed king, confirming an earlier rumour whether or not Drive composer Cliff Martinez is involved involved remains to be seen. I don't fucking give a shit about Cliff Martinez. I've watched Drive. It's an okay movie. I don't even remember any of the fucking music or score with it, so no one gives a fuck. But executive producer Dan Hay said Ubisoft Montreal, who is leading developments on Far Cry 4, wanted to take the franchise to the next level and create a game that will surprise and exceed fan expectations. Ubisoft likely won't say much until E3 in June, but as usual, Far Cry 4 revolves around weapons, animals, vehicles, revolves around vehicles, weapons, to allow players to create and tell emergent stories. Is there any more to this article? The Montreal Studios collaborating with Ubisoft, Toronto, Kiev, Shanghai Studios, as well as the Ghost Recon Future Soldier developer Red Storm. If you pre-order for Far Cry 4, you'll receive a free upgrade to the limited edition, which includes... Herc's Redemption, a series of three action-packed single-player missions featuring the popular character Herc from Far Cry 3's DLC. I have no idea who this character is. I played through the main... See, I still didn't even bother playing with the multiplayer. I just did the main story, and yep, this game was perfect for me. So I have no idea who Herc is, but whatever. The limited edition also includes Herc's signature harpoon gun, the Impaler. Basically, that's all it says. But yeah, I mean, the main guy, he looks like sort of if he looks like the rape baby from Macklemore and Anderson Cooper. He's sort of wearing his sort of pinky flamboyant purple suits, sitting on a basic looks like one of the like some sort of statue. Basically, it was like a statue that had the head removed, and he's got some sort of bloke at his feet and his guns and just a bunch of stuff. I mean, this is like the box cover. But yeah, I mean, this game looks pretty good. And I'm wondering how the open worldness how it's going to be. I mean, Far Cry 3, that game was amazing. You know, just driving around and, you know, fast travel and the locations. It's like, you know, going through the jungle and stuff like this. You know, I'm sort of wondering because I mean, this is the Himalayas. It's all mountains. Are we? I'm looking forward to going to temples and stuff. I mean, it's weird. I mean, I've watched was it 7 Years in Tibet with Brad Pitt? I've watched that several times. And you know, I think about how, you know, there's plenty of open land and stuff like that. But I mean, it's all mountain area. It's like how open world are we going to get from this game? How free roaming can we be? Is there going to be multiple? Is there going to be many paths? Like, I mean, there's bound to be a bunch of secret caves with hidden loot and hidden quests and stuff like this. But I mean, if Far Cry 4 is as good as Far Cry 3, we're in for a treat. I mean, I'm looking forward to meeting his characters. I'm looking forward to the trailers for this, which I'll be watching like several times because I want to know. I mean, I want to know how bad this guy is. He's like a self-proclaimed king. But yeah, I mean, this game is going to be great. I mean, we don't have any information on it apart from, you know, people making it and basically these animals. So, you know, tigers, I imagine. I mean, you know, tigers are in Asia. I think Himalayas are in Asia. I don't know. I fucking shit at geography. But yeah, vehicles. So I'm going to guess some sort of air transport, probably like the parachute, the hang glider again. Jeeps. I mean, I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of stuff taken from the original, vehicle-wise, weapon-wise. I mean, it's just like a bit of a downer now, actually, just thinking about it. It's like, we're going to get this game, and it's going to be so good, and hopefully it won't just be a carbon copy of before. I mean, just to change that, to stop it from being basically a carbon copy of number 3, it's going to have to be the characters. You're going to have to build up the characters, the story. You know, and basically who the main character, we don't even know who the main character is yet. I mean, because it was Jason Brody, and basically his family were, you know, I think his brother was killed, and you wanted to get revenge, and all your friends were kidnapped, so you had to go and rescue them, and they basically had to help with this boat to get off the island. And you know, the creepy brother and sister. There's so much that we need to know about this game that it's going to be amazing. It really is. I can't wait to play it. I can't wait to see stuff on it. I mean, literally all we got now is basically a poster, but E3, about 2-3 weeks away, it's going to be so much fun trying to find out more about this game. But yeah, other stuff came out. Hang on, let's try and scrub the old, I think this is the article. Halo 5. They talk, you know, I mean, I didn't play through Halo 4 because, I mean, I've sort of stopped with the Halo, you know. But yeah, this picture came, was it Halo, one sec. Yeah, Halo 5 Guardian. Sorry, I had to scroll in because literally I'm looking at this picture, it's not very big at all. But yeah, This new Spartan. Says Halo. This is from CVG. Halo 5's unnamed Spartan is a new character. Producer says he's not Palmer or Cortana. The Spartan soldier standing right side up in the Halo 5 Guardians title art released Friday is an entirely new character. The new character stands above Master Chief, with the series protagonist seeming to appear as his reflection. Halo executive producer Josh Holmes gave some clarification to the speculating fans via Twitter. Okay, he says, for everyone speculating about the mysterious Spartan Halo 5 Guardians, he's not Palmer or Cortana, he's a new character. Palmer refers to Commander Sarah Palmer, who appeared in Halo 4, and Halo Spartan Assault. Cortana is the Master Chief's longtime companion. Yeah, she's an AI. She's not flesh and blood. Who fans might have associated with the unnamed Spartan because of his glowing blue visor. Another piece of Halo 5 art released Friday depicts a dry, dusty alien settlement, potentially a setting for the Master Chief continued adventures. This looks like, I mean, I know he said it's a he, but from the body type and the way it looks like it's like a woman's frame. I mean, maybe that's a sort of red herring, the fact that he's saying it's a he, but it could be a woman. I mean, you know, fucking Metroid. Everyone thought Samus was a guy, and then you find out, I think it was at the end of Metroid 2 or something. I don't know. I've never played Metroid, any of them. You know, it's a woman. But I think this is a woman from the way the body type is, the way the legs are and the helmet. It just... the way the chest piece is, because it seems to sort of focus down towards like a, you know, a woman's chest. But yeah, I think it's a woman, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, Halo 5, if you're a big Halo fan, I know there's tons of you out there do, I mean, get excited for this. It could be good. You know, it's Halo. It's the same old shit. You know, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. If you don't, whatever. And I'm in the whatever camp. But yeah, I mean... It's good. We're getting more Halo, but I mean, I worry about Halo. I mean, I'm not the biggest Halo fan, but literally, I'll stand up for it when I need to. But I do worry about the fact that we're getting. I mean, you know, I've said about we're getting all these games that have been sequel after sequel after sequel, and I worry that, you know, because Call of Duty sort of. I mean, I hear a lot of people who aren't even bothering with the multiplayer for Ghosts at the moment. They've basically just gone back to playing Black Ops 2, which I mean, I've been hearing from tons of people has the better multiplayer. But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of like stuff that's going on with it, and you know, it's good if you're a Halo fan, and you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, E3's, you know, a couple of weeks away. It's going to be really good. Where was this stuff? I was looking at something earlier. Because I've got half an hour left on my break, so I've got all this Nintendo news, which is a shocker, because Nintendo doesn't have anything, to be honest. I mean, like last week, I mean, I had three or four articles that I did, and that took up most of the show. I suppose I've got all this backlog of information and articles and a whole load of stuff about Nintendo, which I'm going to try and blitz through before the break. It's a whole lot. Here we go. Yeah, this is from Games Radar. Nintendo's response to demands of me quality. Let's not talk about it. Nintendo's having a really bad week. First, the good news of Pokemon. This is from last week, by the way, people. Ruby and Sapphire getting 3DS remakes. Now not so good. Nintendo's financial reports for the past fiscal year report a loss of $229 million. If it was billion, they'd be out of business. That's the economic crisis, but there's also a moral crisis. The exclusion of same-sex relationships from the upcoming game Tomodachi Life. Despite the recent Me Quality fan campaign, hashtag Me Quality fan campaign, CVG News reports that no changes will be made to accommodate gay couples in the game's impending Western release. Now, Tomodachi Life, I've seen what this is. It's basically Animal Crossing, but without the animals. I think that's a sort of way to look at it. You get your own like house in a town, and you basically all the people on your friends list are in that town, and you can interact with them and you can do stuff, and it's very Sims meets Second Life meets Animal Crossing. And there's a lot of thing about you can't have gay relationships and stuff. I mean, I think it's weird. I mean, I don't really give a monkey's about. I mean, this game looks fun, but I don't know if I'll bother picking it up, because I don't know. I mean, I'm just sort of... All I use my 3DS for is Pokemon. And, you know, if I'm going to do a sort of RPG, whatever, it better be damn good if I'm going to start playing it on the 3DS. I've been falling for that a few times recently. But, yeah, I'm going to play something on my Xbox or PlayStation. But yeah, I mean, there's a whole big backlash about Nintendo that you can't have gay relationships. But it's a video game. Why? I mean, yes, I'll admit, with Mass Effect, I did, make a couple of female characters and just go with the old gay relationship with the other, with like the R and, you know, whatever. But yeah, I don't think there are any blokes out there who are looking for the gay relationship with other men on this sort of game. I mean, just the game's going to sell really well. I mean, I'm not negative about it. I mean, I'd laugh my head off if it didn't sell well, because it's been so pushed by everyone and it looks so quirky and cute and, you know, whatever. But it's, I don't know. I mean, I might pick it up. If I could get, Big Sis Marianne, if she'd pick this up and maybe Kevin pick this up, then I'd probably pick it up as well. I mean, that's the only reason I think I'd buy it, because, I mean, I don't have Animal Crossing anymore, which we all play together. But I might get this if they did. I mean, I haven't done too much research into this. I've sort of looked at basically what it is, and I know it seems okay. You know, you can do various things and have lots of fun with it. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the same-sex relationship, I don't think that's not too much of a fun. I mean, not so much of... You basically play the game to have fun. If you can or can't, it doesn't really matter. I mean, just... maybe this is one of the big things. I mean, I'm trying to think now about games like this or RPGs. You know, how the main characters in games were always pretty much male characters. Or, you know, some first-person shooters you never saw them. I mean, it's only been, you know, the past 15 years that we've actually had... a more of a push for female characters in gaming with, yeah, I mean, we had Lara Croft, and that's how you say it, people. It's Lara, not Laura. I hear a lot of people say Laura, it's Lara. With Lara Croft and Tomb Raider, what the hell was it? Joanna Dark from Perfect Dark. I think that's what her name is. I never played Perfect Dark. I had GoldenEye, and that was good enough for me. But yeah, I mean, just, there hasn't been that many. But now with stuff like, the Elder Scrolls series, Mass Effect, Fallout, stuff basically where you could have customizable characters is basically how it's. I mean, it's kind of the whole female character base is being shoehorned in, which is a bad thing, to be honest. I have played female, I played the fucking new Tomb Raider game we got, and that's fucking amazing. I have no problem playing as a female character. As long as she kicks ass, that's all I'm worried about, because basically at the end of the day, it's me controlling a humanoid person doing whatever it is, killing whatever it is, But yeah, I mean, I can see that this will be the next thing that most games will try and include, the whole same-sex relationship. I mean, it's something that should be pushed, to be honest. It's not a necessary requirement. That's why Nintendo didn't really put it in the game, because it's like, well, does it really matter? Can you just have fun with this fucking game that we're making? I mean, we should be grateful that Nintendo are making any damn thing, since the fact that, I'd love to play a new Metroid on my 3DS. I'm looking forward to the Smash Brothers game. I don't know if I'll bother buying it. I might. It depends how much, loot I've got in my bank. I want to play stuff from Nintendo. I want to play a new Zelda. I want to play Metroid. I want to play F-Zero. F-Zero. I'm thinking about picking up the new Kirby. Same-sex stuff doesn't matter from Nintendo, because what matters from Nintendo is that they make the same fucking game that we play every console generation, which I've talked to many people about. They all say the same shit as I do. Nintendo, you make the same old crappy games. We want to play the same old crappy games. All you're good for. That's about it. This is why, Sega sunk like a stone. They had no basic characters apart from Sonic, who was played out. It was quite good, actually. There was a post on Games Radio. I'm quite proud of this, actually. I'd have to try and dig out the post and see how many likes. I got about, I think, was it 80-something likes on this post. It was like how the fact that Sonic, when you first see him in 91, was quite fat and chubby, and now he's quite sleek. And I said, well, yeah, of course. If you've been running for 20 years, you're going to lose a bit of fucking weight. But yeah, I got a lot of likes on that, which made me feel good. Shame I can't get that many likes on my fucking Facebook page, which is facebook.com. Facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. Go on there, give it a like, up to 93. I'd love to get past 100 likes before I actually turn 100, because that would be nice. But yeah, I mean, the same sex stuff, it's not a worry. I mean, the main thing. Where's this fucking page gone? The main reason we play games is to have fun with them. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of a game, is to have fun. You know, and as long as we're having fun, it doesn't matter. I mean, the whole same sex stuff, whatever. I mean, it's a bit. It's kind of hypocritical for me, because I don't really have the whole love and relationship stuff with real people. I mean, I sort of not have it through the games, but I sort of do but don't. I mean, it's hard to explain. I go with the feeling of the game, and it makes me feel better that my character is doing something. And you know, it's a very emotional, spiritual sort of symbiotic relationship between me and my character on the game. But you know, but I mean, people out there playing this looking for the whole gay relationship for actual purpose, whereas me just fucking around with Mass Effect is for a bit of fun. Then you probably need to fucking stop, put down their game, and go and get yourself sorted out. But I'll carry on reading this article. Nintendo of America gave a statement saying that Nintendo never intended to make any form of social commentary with the launch of Tomodachi Life. We hope that all of our fans will see that Tomodachi Life was intended to be a whimsical and quirky game, which I can see, and that we are absolutely not trying to provide social commentary. Of course not. I mean, games should never provide a social commentary unless it's, I don't know, like an era, a game set in a certain era, because, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking now about all the World War II games I played 10, 15 years ago, or, you know, the current shooters set in fuck knows nowhere, buttfuck nowhere. But yeah, I mean, a game shouldn't be a social commentary unless it's the focus of the game, whereas this one, it's, as they say, it's supposed to be whimsical and quirky, which I can see from the trailer, and it looks very whimsical and quirky, and, you know, it's like Animal Crossing, so you can have a lot of fun with it if you like Animal Crossing. But staying neutral, despite the pleas from fans, both gay and straight, to change the game. Why the fuck would straight people want to change the game to gay? Nah, I don't get that. I mean, I've got no problem with it. You know, you do what you want, it's a fucking, you know, whatever. I still want to buy it. If, you know, I want to buy it, I'll wait for the reviews from people first before I even, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, Charles, I can't really see the point now. Whatever. It's a statement in and of itself. It shows an aversion to getting involved and taking a stand where inequality is unfolding right in front of us. Without trying to throw around weighty, provocative objectives, Nintendo of America's response feels like a cop-out. An unwillingness to confront the idea that this whimsical and quirky simulator only allows for boy-girl couples. Well, what the fuck is stopping a boy playing as a girl character and then doing it that way around, trying to get the boy that way? What's stopping you? Just, you know, have a little bit of fun. I mean, So I know a load of gay people, and you know, it's one of those fucking things people say. But no, it's like they have a certain femininity to themselves. I mean, one of the guys I used to work with, you know, back when I was a chef, very feminine, very, very feminine. Great bloke. You know, but, you know, he had his feminine side, as, you know, lots of people do. I mean, fuck, my name's Ashley. How, you know, slight feminine side there. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, we need single sex names. No more fucking girls' names or boys' names as well. Just, you know. But yeah, I'll carry on. I'll blame my dad for that. Excluding any other kind of pairing. But I mean, are you playing this game? I mean, look at this game. You know, if you're listening now, stop the old podcast. Go and look at a trailer for Tomodachi Life. This game, if it was supposed to be, you know, super realistic for the gay stuff, I mean, it's not that, you know, if you're going to want something with gay stuff, right, you're going to want something with much better fucking graphics than this. I mean, the games, it's, you know, The graphics are whimsical and quirky. It's not going to be anything more than that, I'm afraid. The knee-jerk reaction is to decry Nintendo for its reluctance to face the issue. When they were making this game, I don't think they were going for the same-sex relationship. I don't even think it crossed their mind, to be honest. I think Nintendo's losing 200... Was it two? Hang on a sec. Is it on this? Yeah, sorry. Yeah, losing $229 million last year. I don't think when they thought we need to make a game that makes us money, I don't think we need to make a game that the gays will like. I think it was like, yeah, we need to make some fucking money fast because all that's making money for us is Pokemon. And that's about it. Because literally, I mean, they're making no games. They've got consoles that are selling that aren't selling. They need to make stuff that people are going to play. I mean, whether you can have a gay relationship in a game, I don't know. I don't think people really give a monkeys. I mean, yes, it got me to play Mass Effect. It was, you know, only something you could do. But to be honest, what hooked me was the fact that the story, it was sci-fi, and it was made by the people who made fucking Knights of the Old Republic. You know, come on, people. Move past yourselves. Jesus Christ. Tomodachi Life Let's Players, that is to say, a boy and girl fall in love and eventually have children. When Tomodachi Life was released in Japan last April. Wow, it's been out there so long. Fucking hell, why are we so late to the thing? A bug was found that made same-sex relationship possible. As Nintendo's Bill Trinan described, eventually you could create a male version of a Mii character and assign their gender. And assign their gender as a female, and that would have the two males able to have a baby. Within a month, the bug was patched, effectively eliminating the possibility of gay couples. See, it was a bug. If it was anything more than that, it was something that was like a proper code, but it was a bug. So, whatever. It's a bug. Fuck's sake. Making people making mountains out of a molehill. Seriously. But yeah, in this case, the possibility of childbirth in the same-sex relationship has been the fallback excuse for exclusion of gay romance. Listen, people, if you want gay romance options, go and play Mass Effect. It's got a great story, the graphics are amazing, and the characters are really cool. If you want your gay stuff going at, go and play Mass Effect. I recommend it, and you know, play them all now because literally we're going to get Mass Effect Effect 4 next year. So. Do it now. Make sure you play it because I mean they're big, big, big games. Especially fucking first one. You know, nothing like driving around a desolate planet trying to find minerals and stuff. Where was I? Yep. Here we go. Yeah, the same issue came up when Fire Emblem Awakening got a Western release last year, which also prevented same-sex couples from forming. Again, the reason given was that the romance was a game mechanic meant to. Facilitate child rearing, so it didn't make sense for same-sex couples to produce offspring. Well, of course they can't. Fucking, you know, can't two dicks can't make a fucking baby. It's genetics. It's fucking obvious. You don't want Japanese people thinking that two blokes can make a baby. Since it's from what I've heard, I could be wrong on this. That most of them seem to think that Santa Claus. Is from Lapland, not from the North Pole. Even though, you know, Santa Claus is a fictional character. Spoilers. If you want to have your same-sex stuff, then, you know, pick up fucking Mass Effect. Don't worry about this sort of shit. This article goes on and on and on, but I think I've made my point. You understand what I'm saying? And no one's looking at this sort of... I mean, just, all right then. What about all those fucking furries and people into bestiality? How comes it in Animal Crossing that your main character couldn't fuck one of the animals and that? See? We're going to try and find some group who wants that for the next Animal Crossing. Fucking see some outrage over that. Fucking people moaning about this sort of shit. Need to grow up. Let's look at some more Nintendo stuff. I've got about 10 minutes to break. I don't want to go into too much. Nope, some more on that Tomodachi Life. Okay, what have we got here? Here we go. Nintendo aims low with annual Wii U sales and sales forecast of 3.6 million. This came out about a week ago, a couple of weeks ago. Nintendo has told investors it expects to report 3.6 million Wii U sold in the 12-month period ending in March 2015. That represents a marginal increase from its most recent annual result of 2.7 million Wii U sold, and suggests Nintendo has diminished confidence that blocks that blockbusters such as Mario Kart 8, as soon as Super Smash Bros. Wii U and 3DS will drive hardware sales. How much is... Let's have a look at this article. Yeah. The Kyoto-based corporation believes that 20 million Wii U games will be sold this year, a slight increase on the 19 million achieved in the prior financial term. However, Nintendo may be more inclined to forecast conservatively after famously missing its initial sales target last year by an extraordinary margin. Last March, the company predicted 9 million Wii U systems would be sold worldwide across the financial year, but after the Christmas, that figure was hacked down to 2.8 million. In terms of 3DS sales, Nintendo expects 12 million units to be sold worldwide with the worldwide this financial year. That could virtually match its 2013-2014 financial year sales, in which the platform became a bestseller in numerous territories for an extended period, although it's still failed to meet initial expectations. 3DS set for release this year include 3DS games set for the release this year include Smash Brothers, but Little Else is confirmed. Yes, because that's all they have. Last year the big push was Pokemon. Nintendo, literally, all right. I was looking at some stats and stuff. So far, since October, Grand Theft Auto has sold 33 million copies across Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. That is a fuck ton. That is a hell of a lot. I mean, yes, of course you should if you haven't picked it up, you should buy it because the game is amazing. But yeah. Nintendo sold 2.7 million Wii U's last year, whereas you've got a game like Grand Theft Auto, which, 33 million. It's a big difference, and you split that down the middle, you get 16 million each console. Nintendo, you need to do something. I mean, this picture's got a picture of Reggie Fils-Aimé. The guy is an asshole. Fire him. Fire all these idiots who don't know what the fuck they're doing and hire somebody who actually knows what's going on. You shouldn't... I mean, look, right. You want to sell 3.6 million Wii U's in the next 12 months. Right. There are games out there that want to sell that in the next 12 months. When Tomb Raider came out, they wanted to sell... Was it 5 million, wasn't it? I can't remember. But I think they sold like 3 million. It's like, yeah, you've got your Wii U sales. You shouldn't be lowering your expectations for a console when you've got games that are outselling your console. You should be, people should be buying your console. They shouldn't be... These people, it sickens me. It really does. How dense and stupid and clueless these people. This is what makes me laugh, right? I mean, I had lots of fun last week with, bashing on Microsoft because, yes, I knew they were going to take the camera up because you had to, because the sales were shit. Because no one wants to buy the Xbox with a camera that you don't need to work with the device, that there are no games that work on the device, which is probably why we'll see in the future... a new PlayStation controller without all the touchy pad because no one's making an actual game that integrates it. But now you want to sell 3.6 million when you've got games that can barely sell that, and you're hoping your console will do it. Are you having a bubble? What is it? I mean, yes, I have seen a lot of push for Mario Kart 8. I do want to pick up Mario Kart for my 3DS. I'm not in a hurry, to be honest, because it's... I mean, the game's like 2 years old, and it's still very expensive. Not very expensive. It's average price, we'll say it's about 30 quid roughly. But I'm like, yeah, I should be, after 2 years, I should be paying less for it. And people are still charging more for it because that's all Nintendo has. Pokemon came out. I mean, they're pushing the Pokemon games like crazy. We've got this new Art Academy one. We've got Omega and Alpha and Omega coming out in November. It's like so much stuff that's there that just Nintendo has no clue. I bet it's like fucking Willy Wonka's chocolate factory over in Japan with in Kyoto for the Nintendo offices. It's like it's all magical fairies and make believe and fucking tiny Japanese Oompa Loompas running around. It just makes me laugh that these people could be so damn stupid when it comes to something that's so. Damn it, come on Nintendo, pull your finger out your asses. I don't want Nintendo to go away, because yes, it basically means the end of my Pokemon stuff, unless, you know, Pokemon comes out on other systems, which would make it trickier, whatever. But I mean, you have a whole backlog of games and characters, and we need to see something. You're just literally, I mean, I'm just trying to think now. Nintendo made shit tons of money with the DS and the Wii and the original Wii. Where the hell has that money gone? Where have you been investing your money? You're making a loss on the Wii U because I'm looking at this picture now with that Reggie douchebag. It's a nice looking console, don't get me wrong, but it's the controller that basically pissed everyone off. No one cares about it. It's just. I mean, I started watching Smosh Games, which on YouTube. Go and give them a watch. They do oddest trailers, and they do the not Cinema Sins. They do a bunch of the honest movie trailers, and they do game trailers and stuff. And there's a bunch of decent people on there, and they're a great bunch of blokes. And that Mari chick is really hot. But yeah, watch that. I mean, they do a lot of stuff, and I was watching them play some Mario Kart 8, and I was like, yeah, you look. And one of the guys had the Wii U controller, and a bunch of them had the sort of classic controllers, and I'm like, you look so out of place there, mate, holding onto this fucking tablet thing. And it was just so weird to see how it's just weird and bulky, and you break this thing and it's so expensive, and it's like, you just need to make a controller. I mean, just controllers are expensive enough. I mean, I want to buy myself when I broke my PlayStation 3 controller last year, having a temper tantrum with Assassin's Creed. The controllers are like, I don't know, 40 quid plus for a controller. I could buy, the cost of a brand new game is the same price as the controller. The Wii U pad, it's like two games. Your controllers are so expensive for a bit of fucking plastic with wires in it. You're outpricing, you're outmarketing every damn thing. I mean, yes, it means we have to take better care of our controllers and stuff, but it's like, I don't know, it just sickens me. Here we go. Yeah, sorry. 3DS game set for release. I've read that bit. Sorry. Nintendo will reveal new Wii U and 3DS projects at its E3 virtual press conference on Tuesday, June the 10th. So we're going to see some stuff then. That'll probably be some sort of 40 minutes, hour-long thing. The Nintendo Direct stream is expected to share further detail on the gaming experiences on the way for Nintendo platform in 2014 and beyond. On Wednesday, Nintendo told investors that it suffered a $229 million loss, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It really just sickens me how stupid Nintendo can be. It's literally, look, half these people think, I don't know, it's not hard to run. It's hard to make a game, yes. You got the coding and all that, numbers and computer stuff. I have no fucking clue. You're lucky I can barely run the equipment I'm running now to do the show with. But to run a company, it's a piece of piss. When it comes to making games, you pull ideas out of your arse. And was it Shigeru Miyamoto? All the fucking games that he's made over the past, I don't know, 20, 30 years, and he's like how Pikmin came up because he was pissing around in the garden, and you know, all the shit he's made up and stories that he's told about how these games came to ideas. I mean, seriously, the guy's out of fucking ideas, people. We need to make new stuff. It's not hard to make games, ideas for games. You just need to, you know, fucking think of shit. You know, eventually we're going to go down the movie. We're going to go down the way the movies are gone, where it's just probably cheaper to remakes, which, hello, Pokemon is doing with, you know, Fire Red, Leaf Green, Heart Gold, Soul Silver. Now we got Omega and Alpha, whichever the ones, fuck it, I don't know. I don't fucking understand. But yeah, we eventually we're going to go down that route where it's basically, you know, we're going to get remakes and remakes and remakes, and the whole gaming industry is going to basically just blow its bollocks off because it'd be so damn stupid. But yeah, I've talked enough for the moment. I do want to take a break because literally I opened a beer about an hour ago and it's been sitting there staring at me and I need to have a good swig of it. But yeah, I'll be back in about 10 minutes. Get yourself something to eat, something to drink, or you can just stay and listen to these messages. I will see you in a few minutes, people.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you.
I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Yeah. AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
so everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on MoreLikeRadio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. Let's say it 3 more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, down, bow, down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, 3 of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn. No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're going to go out and do it? That's stupid. I'm not going to go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. I love that rejoinder. That makes me laugh so damn much. Welcome back, people. Hope you had a nice whatever drink, toilet break, whatever it is you were doing while I was on a break. I had a couple of few swigs of beer. I need to get another can. And I had some fruit. So trying to eat healthy and drink beer and, you know, get drunk. I blame Kevin, that drunk fucking bastard. He just hobbles around. Yeah, he's coming up in about an hour with drunk by volume. No, alcohol by volume, drunk by association. Probably use this in the next promo. Yes, I will go back to my Nintendo stuff as I've still got quite a bit. Let's find something decent. Okay, let's have a look.
Pokemon, Wii U sales. Here we go. All right. This is probably the last thing because literally all I've got is, what do you call it? There we go. I stopped you fucking IGN pop-up ads, you bastards. Yeah, here we go from IGN, as you can guess. Nintendo, one game could change Wii U's fate. The fate of the video game system is often influenced greatly by the production of a single title. Nintendo President Satoru Iwata believes the introduction of one game could dramatically improve the Wii U's sales condition. I'm before I even start reading this, I want to say it would probably be we got a whole load of trailers of games and stuff. It was some sort of big robot fighting thing. X, I think it's called, or Zero, or X. Sorry, I think it's called X. That game looks amazing. I would pick it up probably if I could be asked. But yeah, I mean, it does look like a good game. But one game, I don't think one game could change a console. But let's have a read of this article anyway. Iwata talked with investors last week about announcing the money loss, which I talked about before the break. Nintendo only sold 2.7 million Wii U consoles last year and has predicted a so-called conservative sales estimate of 3.6, blah, 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 blah. Hang on, let me try and find where this article's going because, yeah, as for the Wii U, we estimate 9 million units of hardware in sales last year. With Mario Kart 8 and Super Smash Bros. The Wii U on the horizon, Nintendo hopes to spur sales of the Wii U and create momentum. But Iwata wanted to stay realistic and provide conservative forecasts for the home console. Still, he believes a single game could save the Wii U, pointing out how Pokemon sparked the Game Boy handheld system in its later years. The fate of a video system is often influenced greatly by the introduction of a single title, Iwata said. As many of you probably remember, before the release of Pokemon game, Game Boy had been showing slow growth, and many people wondering whether it was the end of Game Boy. But the Pokemon game single-handedly changed the landscape of the system, then started to show the stronger sales in the life cycle of the system. As such, Iwata does think Wii U has hit its sales peak. That's a fucking bad thing to say after a couple of years of only being out. And he wants to work hard to ensure that the growth on the console over the next couple of years. Nintendo President also wants to make sure Wii U owners are satisfied before releasing another console, even though the company has already been working on the next console. On the next iteration of hardware. And that's a really shitty article. Yeah, it's bullshit we already know. But, I mean, yes, I mean, Pokemon did a lot. It did a lot for Nintendo, and one game could change the Wii U's fate, but it'd have to be a bloody good one. It really would. To take control of what the pad does, I'd say maybe do like a Pokemon Snap, like a sequel, with all 719 Pokemon, or was it 21, we get all the old... those secret ones that were supposed to be in touch, we're not getting yet, but we should be getting soon, hopefully. I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to think what game could... It's not that one game could change the Wii U's fate. It's that the Nintendo dragged their heels on so much. They put a console out with that... This goes back to what I said about the PlayStation and the Xbox with, the Kinect and the touchpad. You've built a console developers won't program for, because a lot of them saying that they won't do it, because how are you supposed to make games for something that does what the Wii U does? And this is why we're getting so little stuff. I mean, Nintendo tried to show off their cocks when it comes to console development. It's like, yeah, let's make something that's, I don't know, innovative. And it's like, it just didn't work. Yes, you had a bit of success with the Wii, with the whole, the sticks and stuff, motion control, that sort of stuff. And then basically what happened was the Microsoft with the Kinect sort of ground you down, saying, yeah, you don't even need to use controllers. You can just move your hands. And people are like, yeah, well, just we'd all rather use controllers, thanks. It's nice that you want to do this, but we're all happy with our controllers. And I'm happy with my controller. I've got dozens of one lying all over the place. But it's not up to Nintendo one game to make the to change the console. It's all the games to change the console. And we're going to have to wait and see what we see with Nintendo at this E3 press conference, because the virtual whatever thing it is that I said earlier. Because unless you have something good, Nintendo is going to go down the route of Sega. And I don't want that, because that will mean the loss of my Pokemon stuff. I'm earning my own money now, and I want to play these games that I've never played before, because mainly my parents wouldn't buy, my parents were against buying me computer games until I was about, 10 or 11. I should get my dad on here, have him tell stories about me asking for another pound. It's like a Peter Kay joke. Pound for the arcade machines, and the first thing I had was a Game Gear, and even when that turned up, my old man was sort of pissed at that as well. Thanks to my nan for buying that for me. But yeah, even though he had a lot of fun with it, was playing the golf game. But it's just Nintendo has to do stuff themselves. They have to have some realization that, I mean, to be honest, Nintendo should be laughing their asses off right now. The fact that, yes, Microsoft took your motionless controller thing one step further. Less controllable motion, whatever. And basically, we have the Kinect. But now that they've taken the Kinect out because there's no one making games for it and nobody wants to use it, I mean, yes, it's probably great for, FaceTime or whatever interactions that people have, and I don't know, fuck knows. But yeah, apart from that, there's nothing for it. There's nothing on it. There's nothing to do with it. It's very, I mean, you know what I'm saying, listeners. You've listened to me for months and months, and nearly 2 years soon, coming up soon. You know what I'm trying to say. But yeah, I mean, only Nintendo can change their fate. You need a new console. You call it Nintendo. You have a regular control like everyone has. You don't try anything flashy, and you make the fucking games for the fucking system. I want Metroid. I want F-Zero. I want a new Super Mario. I want to play with all my friends on these games. I want a whole lot of stuff from you, Nintendo, to make me want to buy a Nintendo console again. I mean, I haven't bought a Nintendo console since, I'm going to say, the GameCube, I think, yeah. I had the N64. Then I had the GameCube because of Rogue Squadron. See, Rogue Squadron was what got me buying the GameCube, because no one else was making any fucking Star Wars flying games apart from, what the fuck was the studio called? Shit, not Turn 10. Fuck it, I can't remember off the top of my head. But you've got to make the console that so developers can build. You need to talk to these developers. It's like, yeah, we have this idea for a console. And you just make them say no, sign some sort of no, where they shut the fuck up about it, non-disagreement, when the games come out and the reviewers can't say anything until certain dates, one of those sort of things, and you basically just get them to shut the fuck up and say, well, we'd like to talk about this, how would it go around with you making stuff like this? Look, Nintendo, listen to me. Hire me, pay me a decent wage, and I will come and work for you, and I will show you how to run a company and get people interested in your shit, because you have no clue, and you've got so many managers and creepy little Japanese men who have no clue what the hell they're doing, and you have Reggie Fils-Aimé, that stupid prick in Nintendo America, has no clue what he's doing. He's an asshole. You fire him. He's a douchebag. Get rid of him. And you hire me, and I will come and fix your company for you, and I will have you making shit tons of money. Just literally, it's so easy to do this shit. A fucking toddler can do it. I'm going to move on from Nintendo now because literally they're pissing me the fuck off. They really are. They're so fucking stupid. Let's look at... there was an article that I saw and it made me very happy and funny and excited. I can't remember. Where the hell was it? Sorry. I'm sort of playing Guess Who at the moment for this. No, it's not there. No, I've got some Kinect stuff that I want to talk about, which I will talk about in a sec, but I need to find this article. It's a really good one. I can't remember what the hell it was. Damn it, where is it? Okay, one sec. Oh, here we go. Yes, this is it. This is it. This is the one. Oh, God. Oh, yes, this is IGN. Wait for the pop-up. Fuck off. Thank you. No, fuck off. You fuck off. I'm trying to click out of it. You're just fucks. Yeah, here we go. This is from IGN. 74% of American gamers prefer discs over digital. there are 34 million people in the US who play 5 hours. Play 5 hours plus of games weekly. A majority of the core gamers in the United States still prefer physical media when the game costs the same as the digital version. I said this when I first started. I said, if you want to push the digital sales, then you have to charge a lot cheaper for the game because otherwise it's just pointless. Yes, I know you're making profit if people buy it digitally when it's the same price because you're not paying for all the cards and discs and stuff like this. You know. And, you know, it does make me wonder several things. And stuff I can talk about, but I'm not going to because it could get me into trouble. But yeah, here we are. 74% of American gamers say that they would go with the physical edition of a game, which is possibly surprising as Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft focus more and more on game downloads and digital titles. But NPD notes the digital preferences are the same on the rise, up 5% year over year. Let me scroll down. The global information company revealed the information on its latest report called Core Gaming 2014, in which NPD claims that over 34 million American people who average playing games 5+ hours per week on PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One, and the company believes these stats will increase as people adapt to the newer home consoles for Sony and Microsoft. Core gamers are an important part of the game industry. No shit. Otherwise, what the fuck would you play? You know, we'll be playing Barbie Horse Adventures. And understanding their behavior is critical to anyone invested in the game space, especially considering the launch of the new consoles and the continued evolution of digital gaming. Said industry analyst Liam Callahan. EA financial officer Blake Jorgensen touched on a digital-only future late last year, and his insights line up with NPD report findings. He believes the industry is a ways off from digital-only future. Yes, of course, we are too far off. I'm saying at least 20 years. Possibly less, 15, 20 years, I'm saying, but if they want to release digitally, they're going to have to cost a lot less. I mean, you look at Xbox 4, the fuck am I talking about? Xbox One and PlayStation 4 games. They're really expensive at the moment. And, you know, if we want to buy them digitally, it's the second-hand sales, to be honest. That's what it is. It's like, you know, once I finish with the game, I'm going to sell it on. I don't want to have to pay 30 quid for a digital game and just have it sit there like and do nothing digitally. Because basically, I'm still out of pocket. I mean, that's the whole thing with second-hand sales. We want to make some money back on these games. I mean, I would try and beat a game as soon as possible and get the full experience. Don't get me wrong. Get the full experience from the game, and then basically try and sell it on as soon as possible so that the price is still a decent price. So I'm not losing too much money because even when we buy games and we try to sell them on, we're still losing money on the secondhand sales, but we're trying to make enough back. So we was not that much out of pocket, but yeah, I mean, yes, digital future it's in the future, but it's still a way off. I mean, I'm one of the people who does get a bit bored and like have to get up and change a disc. But to be honest, though, I mean, I don't really, I don't really play that many games that are multiple discs. I mean, the only ones I can think of right now that off the top of my head are, you know, we have like the games where we have to install the stuff and then change the disc over. You know, I think was it Forza 5. What are we on now? Forza 4 had to do that. It's basically games where you have to install the stuff before it can work, basically. But sometimes, I mean, it's not really games as such, but DVDs. I'll watch like a DVD, and I have to get up and put the new disc in for the change of the episode. For just on like 3 or 4 episodes on one disc, and then get up. But you know, that sort of annoys me. But it's like, well, whatever. I just get up and change the disc. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to change itself unless we get multi-disc console, you know, like CD changers, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's something that's going to happen, but it's still a ways off. But the thing is, though, if they want this to happen, they're going to have to change the price on what they sell these games at, because otherwise, you know, we're not going to want to pay this sort of shit, to be honest. All right, yeah, that's pretty much that for it. But let's okay. Yeah, let's do some follow-up stuff from last week about the Kinect, because, you know, it's basically dead, really. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, this is it, I think. Xbox One drops price, Kinect, and the... Oh, hang on. I think I've got a better article. I mean, I've got a whole bunch of stuff on the Kinect, but there's, like, job losses. I'm trying to find where this article is. Hang on one sec. I think I know where it is. Sorry, one sec. Yes, here we go. Got it. This is from IGN, and wait for the pop-up. There it is. Suck off. Thank you. Rare evaluating what to do next following Kinect changes. This came out about 4 days ago, so it's quite new, an article. Will future projects still involve the motion camera? Rare is apparently re-evaluating what projects to pursue following Microsoft's decision to stop bundling Kinect with Xbox One. Speaking to OXM, Xbox chief Phil Spencer revealed that developer best known for its work on Kinect Sports, Banjo-Kazooie, Donkey Kong Country, Perfect Dark, Viva Pinata, and Conker's Bad Fur Day, was still of crucial importance to Microsoft. Yeah, they all say that. Rare is an important studio, he said. It has just come off the successful launch of Kinect Sports Arrivals. Okay, all right. I'll need to look up some sales on that, and I want some numbers. But I'm not believing what you say. It's doing well. I mean, I don't really know anyone who actually gives a shit about Kinect Sports Rivals. Where was I? Yes. Yeah, here we go. I think I've heard a few times from people asking about Rare. They're in the process of evaluating what they want to do next. We're working closely with them to see what their new project will be. Seeing as Microsoft has defended its position with Kinect, promising to keep supporting the device, should we expect more motion-focused games from Rare in the future? Right now, it's not clear. Right, I'm going to take a moment out for this for a second, right? Here we go, yeah. Seeing as Microsoft has defended its position with Kinect, promising to keep supporting the device, it says, yeah, should we expect more motion-focused games from Rare? No. You don't put... it's kind of... It's weird, right, how this statement says, right? Basically, every gaming company out there has basically... If they read this article and that line there, they're basically wiping a sweat off their brow. And it basically puts the focus on Rare to make motion control games. It puts no focus on anyone else. You should have said, there's nothing stopping from other people making motion control games. But as he says here, hang on... Rare was an important studio. It's come off of sexual law, blah, 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 blah. He says, I think I've heard a few times when people ask about Rare. Hang on. No, I think it's further up the page. Kinect, if it's still a crucial part. No, it's not. It's a dead stick. you drop it and you run as far away as you can from it. People, the reason, you know, you've bowed down to peer to pressure from us, the gaming community, by basically dropping your camera. Basically, you know, there's, you know, cameras were I mean, I think I said this last week. Cameras are proven to not work. The iToy did nothing. The Xbox Live Vision Cam, I don't know, you fucking seeing people's balls playing Uno Rush. The Kinect, it did nothing on the Xbox, the original Xbox 360. On the Xbox One, it was hindering your sales. It was, your sales are now going to go through the roof because, yes, you don't need this stupid camera that didn't need to, didn't do anything, had no purpose with it. Your sales are going to jump through the roof. And when this happens, right, listen to me, people, when this happens, it's going to be a very good thing for Microsoft. And it's going to show them that you can sell consoles without the use of a Kinect. People, it shows you that people weren't interested in the Kinect. Nobody wants this thing. There are people, I know, I'm probably randomizing. There are people out there who want to use a Kinect and play games on a Kinect. That's fine. But you're in the minority. Well, the rest of us, we want to play on the Xbox. I mean, you know, as I said, I want to get myself an Xbox One. I want to play, I don't know, I have to have a word with JJ. But I think I want to play Rise Son of Rome because it looks good. He might say it's shit, whatever. I want to play Dead Rising 3 because it looks amazing. Whatever Gears of War game they're going to make, I want to play some more Gears. I want to play a load of stuff that I can get exclusively on the Xbox. And I don't want to use a camera to do any of that stuff. And I shouldn't have to. I mean, I remember I think it was two E3s ago that we were being shown stuff. I think it was Ghost Recon Future Soldier, and how the bloke on stage was like moving his hands about, and the gun was sort of coming apart, and you could sort of choose bits and pieces like items and stuff on what the fuck was it? Like how to do, you know, how it moves, and you can move around. That was pretty cool, right? But apart from that, there was nothing really spectacular about it. I mean, we all want, basically, we all thought when it first came out, it was announced the Kinect, it was like, yep, you know, it was going to be something, but no one was developing for it. It's like, well, what the hell do you do with this? It just tracks motion. It's, what do you do? I mean, there are so many games that you couldn't possibly do that play with motion control. I mean, the big seller for, you know, the big genre seller for computer games is shooters, first person shooters, third person shooters. What can you do with a third person shooter? I mean, the biggest selling games on the actual devices these days are your shooters. You have your Halos, your Call of Duties, your Medal of Honor back when it was good. You know. What are you supposed to do? You know, Gears of War. What are you supposed to do with these sort of things with motion control? Do you hold your hand up like a gun? No, you sit on the sofa with a fucking controller and you play it like that. It's like I've been playing it since I was a little fucking tiny little baby. You know, it just pisses me off. But yeah, I mean, another article which I thought I had, probably that I don't now, that's basically come out and said that Rare are basically just firing members of staff now because they're trying to, you know, do something with the company. And it's like, well, you have a company which was bought by Microsoft to do stuff for the avatars and Kinect. And it's like, well, as you've basically given it a Viking funeral. You just put it on a, you put the Kinect on a ship, and you've just pushed it out to sea, and the whole ship is on fire now. There's no one's going to want to use this fucking thing, and no one's going to make for it. And now that you've put all the focus on Rare to do stuff for this, nothing's going to happen, mate. And nothing's going to happen with this thing. It's literally your best bet is to sort of. Listen to this, right? Best thing for Microsoft to do, do some bits and pieces with the Kinect, try and save it somehow or make some money off it or make some, try and make some decent money off of it. Don't try and push it. Don't push it because you're just wasting your time. Roll out with this, you know, once this, we get to the near end, finish of this current console generation, you know, in 15 years' time, stop supporting the Kinect. I mean, just, I was just thinking now, I mean, I would laugh my head off. You know, prove me wrong. It's happened before with the old Pokemon, with the third gen remakes. Prove me wrong. I'd laugh my head off in 15 years' time if the Kinect is still something that people want to buy or people want to use. I can't see it myself. But if it becomes something, then, you know, it will make me laugh. But you've got Rare, who have basically been put under thumb now. They have to make stuff for the Kinect. People are going to leave that studio. People are going to leave that company and say, look, well, this thing's a piece of shit. We don't want to develop for it. Yes, you're paying us, but I'll say, you know, people at Rare, I'd say literally you're on a sinking ship that's got, you know, too many holes. I'd say jump now, because otherwise you're going to be forced into something you don't want to do. And the more people leave Rare, the studio closes. Yes, I know it's a bad thing, but, you know, there's more to a company than its people. I think that's the right thing to say. But yeah, I mean, just leave, go work for other studios, other companies out there that can, you know, basically do what you want to make for them, that won't, you know, push you like they have, like Microsoft has. But you know, as I say, you know, 15 years time, Microsoft sort of just keep pushing the Kinect further and further away from you, so that eventually when the next generation, someone says, are we going to get anything with the Kinect? You just say, no comment, and they'll be like, okay, yep, they've discontinued it, and it's one of those public secrets. You know, I mean, Microsoft, you turn on every damn thing, so one more thing won't fucking kill you. I mean, even though you're, you know, dropping the Kinect, and, you know, you're still in a much better position financially and, you know, with actual games on your console than Nintendo is, so don't worry about it, guys. Wow, this show is going so quick this week. It really is. I've got about 20 minutes left before I have to finish. Let's try and find something else. There was something else that I was going to talk to you a lot about. I can't remember. One sec. Here we go. Yeah, the light bar. Here we go. This is something I wanted to talk about. And this is on IGN. And get rid of the pop-up. Here we go. Yeah, the DualShock 4 light bar created for Project Morpheus. The DualShock 4 was designed from the start in order to work with Sony's VR headset Project Morpheus, according to SCEE senior designer Jed Ashforth. Speaking to Tech Radar, Ashforth revealed the light bar was included because of the development of Project Morpheus. Though the secondary secretive nature of the headset caused issues when complaints about the bar started to flood in. The tracking light, it was our department that said we need that on, said Ashforth. It was for tracking for VR. And when all these things were coming out 6 months ago, and everyone was going on, it's reflecting on my TV. We were going, oh no, because we couldn't tell anyone what it was for. It's good to finally know what the feature is for, as many people were uncertain due to its lack of major use thus far. The most recent PlayStation 4 update has made it possible to dim the light bar, which is a feature made many have been angling for a while. Yeah, so basically this Project Morpheus, which I've never heard of, to be honest, and I don't know, VR, and you made a light bar for it. It's just, I don't know, guys. It just sounds so stupid. Really does. Really, really, really does. I mean, I've got a whole bunch of stuff at E3, but I think I'll wait till like next week or the week after to sort of do this stuff. Let's find something else to help finish off the show with. Okie dokie. Oh, here we go. Yes, here we go. I saw this. I mean, I'm not the biggest Halo fan, which is I'm not really, but I mean, this interests me. I mean, I watched the Forward Unto Dawn movie. It was shit. Until you see Master Chief when he kicks ass, and I was like, yeah, it's Master Chief kicking ass. This is pretty cool. But yeah, first actor cast in Ridley Scott's Halo project. Full cast details expected at E3. First actor set to star in Ridley Scott's recently announced Halo project. I really wanted to make a joke about his brother jumping off a bridge. Is reportedly Mike Coulter. Sorry, I'm scratching the screen. The rap heard from multiple sources affiliated with the project that Coulter, best known for his roles in The Good Wife and The Following, I've never seen them, will play Marlo, a rising star in a futuristic army with reservations from above those in command. Reps for Coulter haven't responded to the report. When the project was announced last month, it was revealed that the digital feature project would likely be written by Prison Break creator Paul Schuring and with Sergio Mimica Gezon, who did Battlestar Galactica and Heroes, will be directing it. That's pretty cool. That's cool. Because Battlestar Galactica was pretty good. And I like Heroes. You know, the first couple of series were pretty good. It sort of weirded out towards the end. It should be pointed out that the project isn't set to start to follow Master Chief and is completely separate from the premium Halo television series done by Steven Spielberg. So this is basically, you know, it's not the Avengers movie, but it's what the fuck is that thing called? Shield? Agents of Shield. Yeah, so basically this is going to be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going up with your Halo Avengers movie. But, I don't know. It's going to be good. I mean, just I'm interested in seeing what they do, but that's the thing. This is what's made me wonder about this whole Halo TV series. As we have now, we have with the comics and the books, we have, you know, the Game of Thrones books, they're out, and everyone's moaning about fucking spoilers. I was like, yeah, read the fucking books, you dumb asses, and they're moaning about the stuff on TV. And you have, you know, The Walking Dead, that sort of tangent off where it goes. Now, what do we have with this Halo TV series? Do we have the, is it going to be, will it follow how the games went? Or will it try and do its own thing? Or will it be a separate canon? I don't know. I mean, it's going to be an interesting thing to see. I know that. I've got a couple of delays here for you. This is interesting. I mean, it's games I want to play. I really do. I mean, these games look amazing, and I really want to play them. Here we go. Yeah, this is from CPG. Dying Light delayed to 2015. Techland says it needs more time to perfect natural movement. Dying Light has been delayed to February 2015 from its previous 2014 release window. Developer Techland has announced that the delay will give it time to perfect Dying Light's natural movement, which is intended to give players significant freedom of movement across the game's open world. I can't wait for this game. I'm going to get this on the PlayStation 4. It's going to be amazing. We believe that the natural movement element of our game will change what you expect from the genre, and we don't want to sacrifice any of its potential by releasing too early, Techland said. This quality-focused thinking and underlines all our development choices, and we hope you share our belief with the gameplay that must always come first. Of course it does. Of course it does. Dying Light is planned for release on PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. That's getting a mouthful to say. It really is. Techland is also working on a first-person hack-and-slash Hellraid, which was delayed to 2015, earlier this month. Techland added that it plans to reveal more of Dying Light's features at E3 next month. I can't wait! I mean, just, I loved Dead Island? No, what was it? What the fuck was that? Oh, shit. The one on the holiday thing? Shit. But the woman, the kid jumping out the window. Oh, damn it, I can't remember what the fucking game's called. But it was really good. It was done by Techland. It's sort of basically based on this. Now, it's a site that I know it will piss off Matty. And I know it has pissed off Matty because I've told him about this. But yeah, The Division, delayed to 2015. Project won't be released on PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360. Tom Clancy's The Division will be released in 2015, Ubisoft has announced. I'm looking forward to this game too. This is one of the things that I'm looking forward to. Publisher said that the project's milestones have been extended for quality purposes. Last year, the corporation's chief executive, Yves Guillemot, close friend of the show, claimed the game would be released in the second half of 2014. Developer Massive Entertainment provided an update on the game's development via the studio's blog. It all cites just three platforms for release: PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. The working on the Division is such a working on the Division is such a once in a lifetime opportunity for all of us at Massive, Reflections, and Red Storm Entertainment. The studio said, "We are creating something we are really proud of, and we don't want to compromise on quality. We're going to release the game when it's ready." The post goes on to indicate that the game will be shown at E3 in June. I can't wait. I want to see more. Because we got that 10-minute walkthrough, I think it was like last year. I was like, yeah, I want to see more. And I want to, you know, I want to see so much on this game because it looks so much fun. But yeah, I mean, I'm becoming a big fan of the sort of on your own sort of, what the hell was that shitty Will Smith movie? I know that doesn't narrow it down the way his recent work has been going. You know, the one where he's in New York and he's got that dog. Shit. I know. Literally all you're screaming at me. I can't think what it is. God damn it. Shit. I can't think of it. But you know what I'm talking about. That the film with the dog and the vampires and the whatever it is in the darkness and shit. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking for. I like those sort of cities based, running around exploring. I mean, it's because I had so much fun with The Last of Us, and that was so much fun. Just sort of being in a city, and there's people there, and there's sort of monsters. You know, I had that sort of fun with that sort of stuff. But I'll carry on reading. In development since 2012, the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC game is principally being developed by Ubisoft's Massive, although Ubisoft Reflections, creator of Driver, and the upcoming open world Race of the Crew, is also collaborating on the project. I'm hoping, because I think there's vehicles in this, and it looks, you know, that's probably why. Division is an online open world role playing shooter that takes place in New York following the release of a devastating man made virus. Players step into the boots of agents from the Division, a classified unit fighting to prevent the collapse of society. See, now, there is so much we don't know about what that all means. Even from that trailer, the 10-minute walkthrough that we got, I mean, the graphics were amazing. It looked beautiful. It really did. But it's like, you know, we didn't know much. It's like, he went from, you know, the main character went from here to there to there to there. Killed a bunch of people, and then you basically heard screams in the city. And it was like, well, what's going on? And that's the thing, because as I say, it's an MMO, this game. Online, open world, role-playing shooter. So, customization, your character, all open world. And, you know, how big is the world going to be? And, you know, I think they've said how big it's going to be. But, you know, it's in New York. You know, there's so much that we need to know about this game. I mean, this is going to be one of my big games for next year that I really want to play. And, you know, I'm going to pick it up and play it and play it and play it non-stop because it's going to be awesome. I know I've got a few minutes left. Let's try and find something else. Okay. I didn't really get through all the topics that I wanted to. A lot of stuff is E3 related and that can wait a while. It's all about, you know, who's doing what at, for E3 with the press conferences and stuff. But, you know, you don't need to know that yet. I'll tell you closer to time because then it's more appropriate. Here we go. Yeah, this is something I saw. It's pretty good, actually. This is from CVG. Rockstar working on new gen game due by March 2015. GTA Studio has not announced plans to appear at E3 in June. Rockstar is working on an unannounced new gen game planned for release sometime this fiscal year. Parent company Take-Two revealed in a conference call with investors. In 2015, the fiscal year began in April 2014 and will end in March 2015. Yeah, because it's a year. Take-Two confirmed in the call Tuesday that Rockstar has not announced any presence at E3 2014 next month. It did not provide any. I don't think Rockstar go to E3. I think it's one of the few studios that doesn't go to E3. I mean, I knew Nintendo's bound out of it, but I don't think Rockstar goes anyway, so I don't know. It did not provide any indication of what the game will be, whether it will represent represents an existing franchise or a new IP from the studio. Rockstar has not announced any new projects since shipping GTA 5 in September last year. And, you know, we need some DLC for that because, oh, not DLC, we need heists with that. And then we need some DLC and, you know, but I'm interested, people are playing this like non-stop with maps and stuff. And maybe that's the way of getting out of doing DLC. It's like, yeah, you just let the community make new missions and stuff like this. It has long been rumoured that Rockstar plans to release a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One version of GTA 5. Fuck, I mean, I'll worry about that. Just make it on the PC. This is all the PC gamers bitching and moaning. Which has sold 33 million units, which I told you earlier, on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. However, the company has largely refused to comment on the possibility of a new gen release for the blockbuster open world game. It's too early. Rockstar said last year, "We don't have anything to share about the possibility of a next-gen or a PC platform release at this time. We are completely focused on delivering the best possible experience for the consoles people have right now." Exactly. And as I said before, it's like, you know, the cost of whatever, you know, keeping up to date with a PC. It's like, yeah, just buy a fucking console with the money that you can, you know, do this shit with. July 2013, Zelnick referenced to Red Dead Redemption as one of the publisher's permanent franchises, perhaps suggesting that a sequel to 2010's... Well, is it 2010 already? We got Red Dead Redemption? Fuck, 4 years. Game has been worked on behind closed doors. I'd love it if it was. I'm gonna say now that I think it's going to be a new Red Dead game, and I can't wait. If it's as good as what we got last time with new gen technology and all that sort of stuff, this game's going to be awesome. In the same uptake, two trademark registrations for agents, indicating that the publisher hadn't given up the idea of releasing the Rockstar North game. Sony announced in July 20th, 2007 that Rockstar was developing a new franchise exclusively for PlayStation 3, but further details, including the project's title, weren't confirmed until June 20, 2009 to coincide with the platform's holders' E3 press conference. According to the official announcement, Agent takes players on a paranoid journey into the world of counterintelligence, espionage, and possible assassinations during the height of the Civil War at the end of the 70s. Where's this fucking cursor? Oh, there you are. In June 2011, Sony Computer Entertainment America CEO Jack Trenton cast a double over whether Agent was still a PlayStation 3 exclusive. 2 months later, what appeared to be the first Agent screenshot surfaced on online, courtesy of an environment artist thought to be working on the project. In 2012, of August, Take-Two boss Zelnick was asked about the status of the game, in which he simply replied, "We haven't announced anything about the title." Rockstar founder Sam Houser said at the time of Agent's 2009 announcement, "We have always enjoyed making action games, and with Agent we are making what we believe will be the ultimate action game. Agent is a game we have wanted to make for a long time, blah, 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 blah." It's just all bullshit. I mean, if it comes out, it comes out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But they're working on something new, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do have. I mean, I'm going to say right now that I'm hoping it's going to be a new Red Dead game, but I don't know. I'm hoping it is. We'll find out. E3's a couple of weeks ago. You've heard me the past couple of weeks. Looking forward to E3. I can't wait. You know, shit, whatever. But this pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thank you all for listening and, you know, downloading as you do. So if you do want to get in contact with the show, you can email us. It's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Like my page on Facebook for the show. I do appreciate it. Every like gets more and more traction from people. And the more people I can get to listen to this show and download it, the more it helps out me, the more it helps out More Like Radio. You want to go facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also follow us on Twitter. I'll follow you back. I think you were solid. As the kids say, as I can barely say, at MLR Gamer Radio, and, you know, follow all the shows on morelightradio.com. So coming up next, we have Alcohol by Volume with Kevin, everyone's favourite drunk, and then you have Unsigned Hypes with Johnny Five, so Dark Side, and whatever the fuck he's calling himself these days. But then after that, you have Dutch and Royce, the usual Tuesday night hilarity. Yeah, basically. The usual shits, the usual good shows. It's Tuesday. Literally, Tuesday's a roller coaster of good shows. So much happening all the time. But yeah, thank you all for listening, people. And, you know, I've got your Pokemon stuff. You're going to hear all about it next week, whether you want to or not. But yeah, Jay, you want to, you know, interact, I've given you the details. Go on morelikeradio.com. If you go search for my shows page, all my details are there. Get in touch. You know, go on iTunes, leave us a review. Tell us what you think of the station. Tell us what you think of us, how we can improve. You know, we do this for us. We do it for you. We do it for everyone. And I'll see you lot next week. Take care, people.
Ashley brought anything to the table?
Oh my God, yeah, what a sure. Bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.